what inspired this movie is basically my whole life. This is, you know, my most personal film. And I grew up playing hockey and mm-hmm. I played at Yale and, you know, always thinking about, you know, all sorts of things. But, you know, why coaches were picking certain players, why did certain players succeed and others didn't? And, you know, what is greatness? Mm-hmm. How can it be cultivated? You know, and I was the kind of kid that was always, you know, challenging authority and sort of wondering why, you know, we were doing certain drills and, you know, certain playing certain style or you're forced to play a certain style. I just always thought about these kinds of things. I was an incredibly curious kid, you know, maybe to a fault. I mean, I think I probably would have played a little bit more in college if I didn't question authority so much. But I would always go to the stadium and I was a kid that was always looking for magic. You know, I wanted so badly to see somebody do something interesting with the puck, you know, and something amazing, you know, that I thought that that's what it's all about. You know, like what is Gretzky going to do? What is Patrick Kane? What are in soccer, you know, Diego Maradona, you know, it's that magic. It's, yeah. It's something unpredictable that you've never seen before, a trick or whatever. And to me, that was the essence. That's why I thought people were spending money. They wanted to see, that's what the greatest were doing, creative things. It's what are you going to do with the puck? Right. And, you know, but then when you went back to your own practice and tried to do something interesting or creative, you were benched or, you know, basically mm-hmm. taught to conform. Do what I say. Why are you doing that? You know, they just want you to do what they say. And it's completely counterproductive, right? Because if we're trying to nurture greatness and creativity, but at the same time, the systems are confining it, you know? So that problem, that fundamental problem sort of got worse and worse mm-hmm. as you get older, you know, especially pro sports, it's so much money and we got to win, but it's people are there. They want to see great players play,
yeah.
You know, and that it's all about creativity. So that is what inspired this.
It, you know, as you were talking, I was thinking too that one of the other aspects, and I want to talk about Wayne Gretzky particularly in a minute, but one of the other aspects of this movie that, you know, the idea that if you are a great player, you almost need to have, I wouldn't call him a mentor, you need to have that guy who looks at you and goes, yeah, you are great. You go ahead and do what you want. Glenn Sather with Wayne Gretzky, Bill Walsh with Jerry Rice.
This guy's a Gallo, yeah.
Yeah, you know, just guys who are prepared to let you, I was going to say let you be you, but it's more than that. It's look at a player who is good, look at somebody with otherworldly skills and say, okay, how can I balance how good he is with how, I'm going to say, how not good the rest of his teammates are. Like, how do you balance all that? And sometimes I think we overlook the fact, too, that as great as you are, you do, in almost any walk of life, you need somebody who kind of goes, who recognizes the greatness, right?
Yeah.
Because you can be great and not have anybody recognize it.
And by the way, a lot happens to so many people, you know, and not everyone has that same prototypical skill. Oftentimes we want the same, it seems like coaches, they want everyone to be the same, but mm-hmm. we're all different and we all have different strengths to bring to the table and we all have our weaknesses and it takes a certain skill, a coach that can really, or a teacher or a boss that really understands people and can see the strengths in people that others can't see and to bring out that creativity. And that's when people are having fun mm-hmm. too. And when people are having fun, they start to win. You can't win if you're not having fun. I mm-hmm. believe that. People think, oh, well, yeah, we're going to have fun when we win. But that doesn't work that way. You got to have fun, and then you start to win.
There's a part in the movie, I'm not going to give it all away, but I think, as I said, was just I found remarkable. Talking to Wayne Gretzky, and of course, we know about Walter Gretzky, and we know about the Gretzky family, the backyard rink. But Wayne tells a story about having a sheet of paper with a, you know, sort of the outline of the rink on it. And as he's watching the game, he's got a pencil and he's just kind of tracing where the puck goes. And, you know, A, I hadn't heard of that. B, it makes, when you look at it, it makes perfect sense that somebody who is intellectually curious would want to almost like chart a game. It's like you're charting a pitcher's pitches. Now you played hockey. What, when you heard him say that, what, you know, how did that settle in with you? Because I just found that, you know, I could picture I could picture Wayne Gretzky watching the game and doing this and tracing where the puck is going.
I mean, I thought it was sort of like, you know, magical and mysterious in a way, but at the same time, it was an incredibly simple thing that this kid was doing. And you talk about it as an intellectual thing. I think it's just more of an imagination/, I don't know, play kind of thing. It's not intellectual. It's intuitive. You know, he just he just saw that and started doodling.
Nobody told him to do that, right?
And he saw it and just started drawing. And, you know, that's what a kid needs to do, is basically just use his imagination and not, you know, be open-minded, because that's where discovery comes from, all sorts of discovery, you know, and looking at things differently. That's what we should be encouraging and teaching kids to not sort of always just follow orders and do rigid drills things, but try and think about things in different ways. And that's where interesting discoveries come from. And also character. Mm-hmm. Wayne Gretzky played in a way that no one was playing like. He skated the way no one was skating. He everything about him, he shot differently. You know, he was a complete unique guy, and the same in any sport. Look at Muhammad Ali. Did anyone fight like that? Nobody. And it was the most beautiful, poetic thing you've ever seen, right? Mm-hmm. And we love that. Yeah. And we almost can't exist without that now. Boxing has become, it's nothing interesting. It's so technical, and no one cares at all about that.
And the other thing that I found interesting when you talk about, it's remarkable how often that magic, as you call it, comes about as a result of a very conscious effort to overcome limitations. Wayne Gretzky's case, not the biggest guy, not the fastest skater on the planet. Not a bad skater, mind you, but Rocky Marciano, another guy.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean,
you know, and yeah, they're creative, but it's in response to what other people might have perceived as being a physical weakness, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So it's in a way, it's survival and creativity. You know, we all have to do that. Be creative to survive. Cause we, you know, whether, if I'm not as smart as someone, let's say in a profession, or like, let's say filmmaking, I'm a filmmaker now. So if I don't have Spielbergian sort of spectacle skills, like I didn't grow up sort of doing 8mm films and thinking, how am I going to set this up? But you know, so I have to lean on other abilities that I have that aren't like that, and in order to survive, right? Because people have to enjoy the films I'm making and be entertained and engaged. And so I rely on other skills. That's what Gretzky or any of these athletes were doing. Is that Tom Brady is a perfect example. He couldn't do certain things. He wasn't as fast and this and that, mobile. And he developed other abilities to survive, you know. So yes, creativity is survival. You shouldn't just be creative because you're simply trying to be creative and put on a performance. We're trying to win or whatever. But if you look at the greatest athletes of all time, they not only dominated statistically, but they were the most creative looking in their presentation. And they see themselves as artists, as performers, first and foremost. And it's important for athletes to see themselves that way. Right. It really is. And listen,
and be comfortable seeing
themselves. Yeah, and any coach that says, that sort of doesn't allow them to do that, or that's not what it's about, it's because they're not that way themselves, or they're jealous, or, you know, it's not right, you know?
How did you go about picking the subjects for the movie, the guys to focus in on? Is it a matter of, and this may be getting sort of more into the filmmaking craft, but a matter of, and I don't mean to boil this down and make this sound as simple as it is, because I don't mean that, but, you know, I'm going to interview a bunch of people, and then whoever is kind of the most interesting, I'm going to go with. Or did you sit down and say, okay, I want to talk to this guy because of this, I want to talk to this person because of this, and if one person tends to be more open and introspective, you know, the movie will just, that it will, things will just fall into place. How did you go about picking the, and because we mentioned Pele's not the easiest guy in the world to get a second with.
Yeah, so I had a rule of thumb that I was only going to go after the greatest, undeniably the greatest of all time. And so, you know, Pelé is, I think, people undeniably the greatest of all time. Gretzky, sure. And then Jerry Rice in his position, undeniably the greatest of all time. I didn't want to go after like the second or this. Then people right. open a can of worms. People say, why didn't you go this guy or that guy? So that was my rule of thumb. And and these athletes that I got were ones that inspired me, and they're in the major sports. And, you know, I did go after Michael Jordan. I met with his manager, but he wanted control, sort of creative control, right. So I couldn't do that. And then Serena, I pursued hard. I'm not going to go into more, but, yeah. You know, so at a certain point, you have to decide, listen, do I have enough, you know, do I have what I need, you know? And at a certain point, I felt I had what I need. Sometimes when you have too many faces, too many characters, it dilutes the focus of the film.
Right.
And so what I was able to do, beyond those three main characters, I was able to include Michael Jordan, Muhammad mm-hmm. Ali, and Serena in other creative ways and try and capture their essence, you know, and how they fit into this film.
There is a scene in the movie where Wayne Gretzky's walking in to be interviewed, and you show him being hooked up, getting the microphone hooked up, and essentially you're he's asked if he wants, do you want sort of prep? And what the questioner goes, no. Why did you include that?
Yeah, so basically.
Yeah, I found it, I mean, I watched that. And again, I was watching it, as I mentioned, on the GO train. And I just thought, I stopped it because I was watching it on online, and I went back to watch again. I just found it, like, and I was sitting there thinking, okay, is he trying to tell me that Wayne Gretzky is so instinctive that he can just kind of walk into the middle of an interview and not know what the hell it's about and be expansive and introspective? I just found that interesting.
Yeah, so I asked him, basically what I asked him, I said, Wayne, do you know what this film is about? Because yeah. I thought, you know, I thought he knew what it was about. Why would I spend sure. a year trying to get him? But he didn't. And the second thing, you know, sometimes before an interview, you kind of want to talk about yeah. what you're going to talk about, but he basically said, no, I don't know what it's about, and I don't want to hear what it's about, basically, is mm-hmm. what he said. And I ended up, it was basically something, it was actually not even a focus shot, it was something that yeah. you'd normally just kind of cut out of the movie, but I found it very interesting, because it's like, you know, he's the kind of guy that doesn't want to think too much before he's about to perform. Mm-hmm. It's not going to help him perform. You need a level of spontaneity, and that's how you can answer more naturally and more truthfully, I think. Mm-hmm. Well, I know that for a fact, but whether he knows that, he said he doesn't want to be in his head. So that was one, I think, one tricky way to get inside of a guy's head is to see that, how he prepares and what he wants to be spontaneous. He doesn't want to be in his head. He said before a game, I mean, it's in the movie, that he used to play ping pong yeah. basically 5 minutes before a game because he didn't want to
right
even think. He just wanted to have fun, you know.
How different was this to the Red Army, to your other movie, one of the other movies yeah. you've done, but the one that I'm sort of yeah. most familiar with? How different was this? How different is
tremendously different?
Yeah, because this is the one you're telling a story. Well, this is a story. I'm not going to take that away from it. But one, you're kind of telling the story, and another, you're trying to get people to talk about something that is difficult to quantify for a yeah. lot of people.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Or qualify.
It's very, well, as you kind of indicate here, it's structurally very different, and kind of the whole idea of it. Red Army was a story, mm-hmm. like you said, it was a narrative story about a guy from beginning and end. This is a movie about ideas and about greatness, and kind of like basically redefining how we understand it. And getting inside their heads. It's just so different. How I put the structure of this film together was incredibly complicated. I had to make it, you know, cohesive and hold people's hand through the journey and through different ideas and that might be a little bit abstract to people, but really, you know, entertain them, like inspire them, educate them, and just... Yeah, tell a great story is just totally different.
Who were you thinking of when you did this movie? Who was the movie aimed at? Like as you're doing the interviews and you're getting ready to edit it and that, are you viewing it through the eyes of a sports fan? Are you viewing it through the eyes of an intellectual guy in the street?
Yeah.
Other athletes?
So here's the thing. I've screened the film now a number of times, and guys like Gretzky, Rice, James Worthy, and a bunch of Hall of Fame football players and other hockey players say that they've never seen a film that gets inside an athlete's head as good as this one. That's I'm saying it verbatim. I'm not trying to promote it, but that's the truth, right? So I'm doing it as an athlete. This film is for the players so that they can communicate how they feel and the truth about who they are and what they're doing, okay? So that's the first thing. I think a lot of coaches should see this or have to see this because they can't do their job well unless they see this. You know what I'm saying? And they need to change because most of them are getting in the way of greatness.
Yeah, it provides a template in how to handle.
And then parents and coaches. I mean, clearly parents and coaches, you know, and kids can all take something away from it. But, you know, I made it as an athlete and I just think that has nothing to do with sports. I was actually never, as I was editing this film, I never once shared it with a sports fan. Hmm. Only people who didn't know anything about these athletes. I know it's kind of hard to imagine people who don't know who Pelé or Gretzky is, but there are people out there because I wanted it to connect on a lot of different levels. I knew I'd have the sports people and, you know, with these guys.
Yeah.
But, you know, so basically there's this film is about life. It's about mental health and happiness and about, you know, understanding yourself.
You also got to run into Don Cherry, who was just in here.
Yeah, yeah.
Don Cherry, who probably, but you know, we talked about this off air. You know, Don Cherry, who, you know, sort of dyed-in-the-wool hockey coach, obviously. But, you know, Bobby Orr, we had him in the studio. He talked about how one of the things Don Cherry let him play in the slot. Defenseman never played in the slot. Don Cherry said, you know, go and play in the slot. And Don Cherry, in this book, and I thought this was so interesting, knowing that we were having you in, he's got a chapter in this book talking about watching his grandsons practice. And he talked about how it's all structured. And, you know, there are a lot of players, kids that look bored because they're standing around waiting for the breakout drill to get finished so they can go and do something. And his point was after talking to his grandson, who says, you know, I just kind of stand there and I get a lot of shots. He talked about how nobody just kind of throws a puck out there and says, go and play keep away.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the fact that Don Cherry, that Don Cherry is saying that is, to me, the most insane thing I've ever heard because he strikes me as a guy that, you know, is all about kind of,
hell out of the other team.
Yeah, beat no creativity. I mean, he'd actually be like the antithesis of what I'm trying to say in this movie, which is amazing. And it was funny to run into him because, you know, he could have been, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if he was this sort of anti-creativity force in hockey for a long time. I mean, it certainly felt like he was communicating that, you know, Don Cherry. But, you know, the fact that he was talking about how kids are bored, I mean, that's fundamental. It's a fundamental thing. It should be fun. That's how you develop skills and creativity and joy of the game. That's how people become great, is how much fun they're having. When you're doing drills and breakout drills, which is insane.
Yeah.
Breakout drills. Like, even as a college kid, when do you have a situation that is like that in a real game? Never.
That's exactly the point he makes in the book is it doesn't happen. There's always somebody coming in to get you.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I mean, it's all about play and unstructured play and using your imagination and developing, you know, developing your skill. I mean, I'll tell you this, that I learned the most about myself and as a player playing outside in an outdoor rink, just shinny high. That's where I developed every single skill. That's the only reason why I got recruited to go play at Yale. It's all because of that.
The movie is In Search of Greatness. It's screening tonight at 7:40 p.m. at the Scotiabank Theater, and Gabe will do a Q&A after the film. As I said, I had a chance to view it. It's not just it's much more than a sports movie. It really is I think in a lot of ways, as I said, it provides a template, I think, for how to deal with especially talented people in all walks of life and whatever they're doing. And it's not, sometimes it's not just enough to get out of the way, but sometimes it is as well. Gabe, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.